B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger Mass presented by DraftKings. We started the show with this topic, and that is Mass and baseball. What is it?
So I look at this entire summer with Major League Baseball, and I feel like the damage that has been done is significant and will have a major impact on the future of the game. That's really it in a nutshell. I mean, I have no other frame of reference to compare this summer to with baseball than to the work stoppage of 1994-95.
Where people left and never came back.
Correct.
And you think that's going to happen again?
I do. I think there's going to be a large percentage of the fan base that never comes back. And whether that's in Boston or nationally, I mean, I think that the hit baseball is going to take from this summer is going to be major. And I went back and looked at some of the numbers and overall attendance from 1994 to 1995 on a per game basis now. Okay, not overall, because in 95 they didn't play a full season. No, but for that matter, they didn't in 94 either. But the average attendance at a major league ballpark from 94 to 95 dropped about 20%. 20, which is a massive number. People were so disenchanted with baseball at that time. They were pissed they didn't come back. It killed the sport in Canada. Both teams, really. The Expos, 7 years later, were out of there. That's it. They became the Washington Nationals 8 years later. Might have been, you know, somewhere in that window. I mean, that was the end of the Expos. It was over. And they were good during that 94 season. They were one of the best teams in the game. And the Blue Jays had their attendance cut in half. The Toronto Blue Jays were world champions in the early 90s. They were drawing 4 million fans a year. They've never recovered. It's never been the same up there. And again, the Expos are gone. And I think there are a lot of other markets that I think what happens in baseball is you get these little pockets where teams get good. But overall, the product little by little has been eroding. And one of the problems now is if you go to that 94-95 work stoppage, you'd say, okay, well, in 98, they had the home run chase with McGuire and Sosa. The steroid era in the game came back. Well, what are they going to give us now? They're already giving us more home runs than we've ever seen before. So I just think, I asked Murray earlier, did you miss it this year? And I know the answer with Murray because his answer is no. So I had to alter the question and ask, did you miss it more or less than you thought you would?
No, it was less. It was even less because it was too weird without the fans and everything too. And it's just the game just doesn't elicit the same response it used to in me. It just doesn't.
So, Mike, again, you already know this, but, you know, just in the interest of full disclosure, I covered baseball for 15 years. I followed the sport for really my whole life, but professionally it's been my identity, for crying out loud. I missed it this year less than I thought I would.
I missed it more. I missed it. I mean, people think I'm like an anti-baseball guy. It's so wrong. I want the thing to be popular and passionate. It's another thing for us to talk about. We can do less questions that have nothing to do about sports. It's like losing another team or a sport from, you know, what we can talk about is like, that's a blow. So not just a talk show host, we want the Red Sox to be relevant and the fan base to be passionate and baseball to be a real thing. I would love to be able to talk about the baseball playoffs, but you can't.
Okay, but take the work part out of it.
Okay, so as a fan, I missed it. As a fan, I missed it. I'm still a baseball fan, a big baseball fan. Not a huge Red Sox fan. It's not my team, right? So, like, that's also something you have to take in mind. That's a thing that I think baseball's lost that we'll never get back, okay? And that is neutral site watching. Like
America's pastime.
The days of it being America's pastime, or you watching another team sitting down and watching a neutral site baseball game, over.
Forget it.
Done. That's over.
There are very rare cases where I can do that.
Okay, so, and even in these playoff games, it's tough. When the playoff games are 4 hours long, it's tough to sit there and consume that. But every once in a while you can. We used to be able to do it in the regular season. They used to have Monday Night Baseball
right.
when we were kids.
Yep, sure.
You know, like on ABC. And I'm just talking about, I mean, now ESPN hardly broadcasts neutral site baseball games anymore. Like, it's they reduce their schedule dramatically because no one will watch neutral site baseball. So the Red Sox are still more of a neutral site experience to me. But as a Brewer fan, not that you care, like, I missed it. I missed the season. I missed the team. I'm still into it. So the problems with baseball hurt me. Both work-wise, Maz, and as a fan-wise, yes.
Yeah, look, work-wise, holy crap. Murray and I will tell you all about that, sitting here from 6 to 7 all season. Thank God it was an abbreviated schedule. That was a killer. But I do believe that it will suffer more as a result of this whole year than the other sports will. I just think these guys covered themselves in mud before the season even began. It was effectively a work stoppage between the labor dispute and everything else. I think a lot of people walked away and turned it off this year, and they won't come back. Now, again, I'm not telling you majority, but in terms of the speed of baseball's deterioration, this thing, COVID, the COVID summer, was a catalyst. It's I'm willing to bet that if they were to have full stadiums next year with, you know, no restrictions, for the virus.
Tracer? I don't know what you're saying. A vaccine.
Sorry, I was just drawing a blank. If there were a vaccine and everybody could start living their lives normally again, I'm still willing to bet attendance is down 10 to 20%. I bet you it's that
so,
big.
So this gap, this lost season, doesn't prime the pump, doesn't get people hornier for baseball.
Makes it worse.
Makes them realize they don't really miss it and don't really need it, and more people walk away.
Correct. Usually, you know, that old expression, distance makes the heart grow fonder, right? Okay, here you go. Now you've been deprived of it. Now I want it more. I bet you it has the opposite effect. I bet you people don't come back.
So how do you feel about that, folks? 617-779-0985. I mean, again, I've done a lot of baseball bashing. I think the sport has a lot of problems. It's mind-numbing to me how I feel like the problems keep getting worse. And I bashed it a ton. But I bash it because I want to watch it. I want to have it. I like it. If I really hated it and didn't care about it, it would be like NASCAR. You know, which I think is insipid and useless. And so I don't care that NASCAR takes 3 hours or 4 hours or five. I don't know how long the races take. I don't care about their rule change. I don't care. I care about baseball. So I care that the game is dragged, and I care that these games take 4 hours, and I care that the ball's never put in play, and I care that there's these playoff games where there are more strikeouts than hits routinely. Like that, I care about that. Because, you know, not just as a fan, but as someone who works here in this job, it'd be nice to have another sport and team to be passionate about. And I missed the Red Sox season, even if their games average 320 in the regular season, and I can't sit and watch that, okay? But even just to monitor it. And so, you know, who's hot, who's cold, who are we on, who do we like, who do we hate, the back and forth. Like, I missed that whole thing. I missed it. For sure I missed it.
Well, look, again, I mean, professionally, I missed it too. I will say, though, that the day-to-day part of it, I missed it a lot less than I thought I would. And I do. I think people are going to say, screw this, I'm not coming back. It's not worth coming back for. Like, you know, to be able to withstand something like this, you have to give people something. You have to have some sort of quality product. And I think people are saying, I was looking for a reason to leave, and you just gave me one. And let's not forget, we haven't heard much about it. There is another labor battle coming. Okay, the CBA is up at the end of next season. They want a new deal by the spring. Most people were predicting a strike or a work stoppage of some sort before COVID. They have one now? You think it's bad now? You think people aren't going to come back today? Wait if there's another work stoppage, how many people walk out the door?
But in some way, doesn't the sport need it?
Yes!
It needs to blow
up. If there's
up.
Really going to be a real reset, yeah.
So I told you, in retrospect, they should have gone to war. They should have gone to war. Once they started that thing, the owners should have dug in and said, no season, that's it, we're done. Because what benefit did they get from playing this? They got none. Zero. They lost people as it was. You might as well have gone to war and tried to make some sort of major change. You needed an upheaval. You needed a crisis. They should have dug in and gone to war this summer. They didn't, and it still got worse. Idiots.
So, you know, the whole back and forth, they had that month to themselves. They got on the field a full 3 weeks later than they should have. 3 to 4 weeks that they should have owned. July, right? It was July that
they should have started the 4th of July.
They should have been back 4th of July weekend. It was all their form.
Yep.
It was all, and they couldn't get the money straight. They couldn't get the agreement straight. Everything else was in place for them to come back and have the month of July to themselves. They could have had the month of July with the stage to themselves, and they could have taken that opportunity to really tweak the product.
Right.
And goose the product and speed up the product and give you a tighter, different sort of experience while you have the stage to yourself. Instead, they bickered for an entire month, didn't get on the field until 3 weeks before they should have, and the game didn't get quicker, it got slower.
I mean, brutal.
It's like,
yeah. Right. And then once the NBA and NHL came back, then we started focusing on that. That was the end of it.
So they had like literally like 5 or 6 days to themselves.
They never existed.
And then, and in those 5 or 6 days, a couple of teams had huge COVID outbreaks and they had to shut it down themselves. So you, like, you didn't even get a full slate.
And here in Boston, the Red Sox went 1-5. And that was the end of it. It was over. I'm not kidding. It's like never happened. The season that never was. It was over in the bat of an eye. It was over before it began. So now, look, there were a couple of places where, sure, I guess they're engaged on this season. They were in San Diego for a while. I'm sure the people in Tampa are excited about this team now. What's Tampa going to do for the health of baseball?
Nothing.
Really?
Zero. Nothing.
Zip.
Zero.
Nothing.
Zero.
Nada is right. Zero. Absolutely Richard, for crying out loud. So what they did really was they lost people over the summer anyway. They should have gone to war and got something out of it. Oh, disaster, okay. If you ask me.
So Maz worries that COVID in this whole season was another nail in the coffin of baseball. Agree or disagree? To you right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones, as promised, Aldo and Ludlow's been waiting very patiently on this very topic. Aldo, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, no problem. You know, you think you're shaming people with COVID. Do you know you're offending more people that root for NASCAR? On that,
it's a very sensitive crowd. I've come to learn, Aldo.
I would give you a hug, Maz. You told me a long time ago that until these advertisers stop buying blocks and blocks of tickets, the average guy like me isn't going to be able to afford to go to a Yankee game because I'm not paying $2,000 just so I can get free.
That's why baseball's in decline, Aldo. The cost.
Well, in New York, it's $2,000.
No, but
what I get for my $2,000?
Yeah, but
free hot dogs and popcorn.
Aldo, the tickets at all these events are through the roof. Has it impacted the popularity of these other sports?
Right. Have you checked a hockey ticket or an NFL ticket lately?
Now, look, there's more baseball games, and it's more gate dependent, and I understand that.
It's the product.
It's not the ticket prices.
It's the product. If the product is good, you will pay just about anything for it. And I'm not just talking about sports, but any experience, whatever. Like, you look at it, and someone offers you a real cool trip, you'll say, I'll find a way to make it happen. I'll find a way. I'll make it work. If the product's good, fine. The product's not good anymore.
And it's not even, I mean, baseball attendance is fine. I mean, it's gone down. I mean, there's been, you know, percentage decreases the last couple of years, but they still draw very well. It's not a gate issue. And it's not even a revenue issue. The league still does very well. It's very, very profitable. So whether it's ticket prices or their regional sports networks, they make money. So it's a good business. I'm talking about passion, interest. And we are uniquely qualified to speak about the interest in that sport. It's way down. I don't care what the ratings are. I don't care what the attendance is. The passion. This is the only baseball topic that draws passion. What's wrong with baseball?
Correct.
If you try and actually talk baseball, like who should be the Red Sox number one starter next year?
Doesn't work.
Crickets.
Yeah, the tumbleweeds go by.
You don't care.
No, so I think it's, for me, baseball would have to commit to abandoning the approach of Bill James and Billy Beane and the nerds and recommit to what the game was for the first 100 years or so. But I don't think that's going to happen. They won't do it.
I'm not sure it can either. Like, it might just have run its course. It could be that simple. The game doesn't fit the world anymore. And at least in part, I blame the people who run it. The game needed changes along the way, and they never instituted them, ever.
I'm talking about interest and passion. It's going to be there. It's always going to be there. Just like horse racing still exists and still does very well. but it's, you know,
the degenerates.
Is it going to be? It's not even. I mean, I'm sure it's a profitable business and all of that, but is it at the forefront of America like it used to be? Or is it even something you could do a talk radio topic on it? No. And that's my worry with baseball. To me, the days of it being the national pastime or us caring about neutral site games, I think that horse has left the barn and is gone for good. I just want to make sure that if the Red Sox get good, that that is a hot button topic here and people care enough here, even regionally, for it to be on the front burner. That's what I am worried about.
You should be worried about that.
Because, I mean, I think there were even, you know, this last Red Sox World Series year, they didn't exactly, you know, in terms of passion and interest, it still was, you sort of wondered.
No, for what it was, it should have been higher. They won 108 games, for crying out loud.
I mean, that's sort
maybe
of
they were too good.
BJ in Worcester, go ahead, BJ.
Yeah, guys, I think the Red Sox are going to be competing for a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years. I mean, this winter, I think they're going to bring in a couple star relievers like Trevor Bauer or, you know, Marcus Stroman. They still got a solid young core. They can trade JBJ for some extreme value. So I still like this team's odds. I believe in Billy. I mean, I'm Heim Bloom. So I'm not totally out on them. I think they can contend soon.
Okay. Well, if you want that, I think that's fair to say because John Henry's done that since he's owned the team. I mean, they've sucked epically and then they've somehow rebounded and won. So based on that track record, they should do it. I wouldn't base it on Heim Bloom or anything else other than that's just been the cycle of John Henry's ownership.
3 to 5 years. I got to wait 5 years.
Do you think they're worried over at Fenway, Maz? You just asked me in the break.
I wonder how worried they are, yes.
About this thing, the interest?
Yeah, I do. I think they're worried over there. I think that they look at the whole thing and say, what's this going to be like when we come back next year? Are we going to be able to sell tickets? We suck. There's no great players out there on the free agent market. We need to do a rebuild, which takes time. And at the same time, we want the TV ratings to go with it. So I think there's this natural friction and headbutting that goes on over there constantly between baseball and business. And I think now it's at its apex. It's high because they need something to get the people interested in the team again, but they hired a guy that they don't want to do that. So how do they fix that? And I'm talking about Bloom, obviously, which is why I think the managerial job is so important. They need somebody that can at least the fans can look at and go, I believe in that guy. I'll listen to him.
Maybe this is also the Billy Bean thing, and it's a backdoor way to get Billy Bean involved.
I think they're worried. I do. I think they're worried. They, you know, they basically have 3 million fans there all the time or pretty damn near close to it. And this next coming season, I don't think they're going to get anywhere close.
Mike and Brighton, what do you got for us on football?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, before you hang up on me, I'm a huge Patriots fan because but I want to talk about Andy Dalton real quick. I just wanted to make a point because Beadle and Zoe, like, laughed me off and hung up on me. I was bull. But anyway, Andy Dalton has the same stats as Dak Prescott the first 4 years. If you look at their stats, they're identical, Mike.
Okay, so what's your point?
Well, what I'm saying is I love Dak Prescott. I would love to be in the sweepstakes for him or whatever it takes. I don't think they're going to take him back. And one more thing, Mike. What do you think about Matt Patricia? Do you think he's gone this week?
I think he's a bozo. I think he's a clown, and if he got fired yesterday, he would deserve it. But I don't care about Matt Patricia.
Was he trying to make the case that Dallas is going to be just fine with Andy Dalton?
I think they are going to be just fine with
Andy
Dalton.
Me too.
I mean,
they should still win that division.
Prescott's better. I'd rather have Prescott any day of the week. But if everything else is in place and you know it's going to take 9-7 to win that division, they can do it with Andy Dalton.
They should absolutely win that division with Andy Dalton. That's a wretched division. It's wretched.
And they have a lot of – Dallas still has a lot of talent.
Yes. What they need to do is get their defense squared away because their defense blows.
If
they give up 30 points to the Giants, for crying out loud.
If 6-10 won that division with any of those teams, I wouldn't be shocked. They're all that bad.
It's in play, Murray.
Mass, Murray, 5-10-1. This is why Doug Peterson taking that tie a couple weeks ago, you watch – 7-8-1 or something like that. You know, people don't realize it was a chicken bleep move and weak and all that.
But it'll benefit them.
It was smart. That tie's going to end up playing there.
Oh, it absolutely is a factor. Were they 1-2-1 and they were in first place?
Correct, because of the tie.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
There it is. Carmine in Abington. Go ahead, Carmine.
Hi. When you talk about COVID being the catalyst, not the, but a catalyst of the downfall of baseball, I just think that they had such an opportunity here with the shortened schedule where every game means so much more When you look at football, every game means so much. That's why there's the popularity there. And they just kind of, you know, didn't make it. But also when you talk
about it.
More strikeouts than hits, when Pedro was your pitcher, you were craving strikeouts. And if Pedro got in a pitcher's duel with someone else, that was your highlight of your week. So just your thoughts on those.
Oh, well, they oversaturated it, Carmine.
Exactly.
I mean, I used to like the home run, too, until every Tom, Dick, and Harry started hitting them or striking out. It's like, well, I've seen this now 4 million times. A home run used to be special. A strikeout used to be kind of cool. Now it's like, Jesus, will you put the ball in play?
Exactly. That's what it was. Pedro was different. He'd go out there and strike out 15. And so you'd say, whoa, that doesn't happen all the time. Then everyone started doing it.
Now,
and they said, now it doesn't have the same value.
Now, it's not single guys who pitch that long, you know, long enough into the game to strike out 15, but teams strike out 15 times in a game routinely.
I mean, that's another thing, too. The whole, you know, just the way the personnel is used has taken all the – you're not playing the game anymore. You're managing it.
Right. And it'd be one thing if it's one fireballer going out there and striking out 15. It's a little different when – the starter gets pulled in the fifth because the metrics say you don't want to go the third time through the lineup, and so you bring in another guy to throw 100 miles an hour, and then the third guy throws 100 miles an hour. Now you're at 15 strikeouts, and you can't recognize two of the three pitchers.
Didn't the Rays set a record with 18 strikeouts in a nine-inning game or something?
I think the Yankees struck out 18 times the other night, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, using a bullpen game.
And I think they had, I'm just going to guess, I think they had something like six, seven hits.
See, so, but this is another
18
thing.
18 strikeouts, seven hits.
So it was a record. It was a postseason record. Right, for the pitching staff, I mean. 18 strikeouts in a playoff game, except it wasn't one guy, so nobody gave a rat's.
Couldn't name a single pitcher who did it.
See, so this is, again, like, you watch the sports. They've just sucked all the entertainment value out of it. If it's one guy on the mound, if it's Gibson, or it's Hershiser, or
Pedro.
It's Pedro, or Nolan Ryan, or you're watching it and you're saying, wow, what an individual feat. Look at what that person had to do to get through it. Look at the guts they had to show and what they had to fight through to get through the eight innings and throw 160 pitches. Look at what they had to overcome to do it. Now it's eight guys throwing one inning apiece. What fun is that? Seriously, what is that what you watch? They've sucked the entertainment value out of the game. There is no entertainment value. There's no great individual achievement anymore. There's no artistry on the mat. There's none of it. And there's a ball in play every 16 minutes or whatever the hell it is, so you can go take a dump and a nap, have a sandwich, and come back, and you don't miss anything.
Real quick, Wayne, what do you miss most in Boston?
By
the way, the Golden Bananas in Danvers, I think. Oh, what's that place called? The Golden Banana?
Yeah, the Golden Banana. Yeah.
Peabody, actually.
Don't forget the Squire.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Wayne.
Getting me excited. Anyway, Maz, I know what you're going to miss most in Boston. You're a baseball guy, so you're going to miss... I've gone here before. You're going to miss going to the old Fenway, hanging out at the horse trough with your buddies, saying, how you doing? Yaz hit a big one. Peace out.
Okay, the troughs at Fenway. You miss them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those were an educational experience for a 10-year-old.
Sure were. I mean, for me, specifically that. My first time at Fenway, I look over, big fat guy went... He had overalls on. He went pop, pop. Drop and just stood there so proud, like he was Mick Jagger, hog out. I couldn't believe it.
It's obviously left an indelible impression.
I remember it like yesterday.
Oh, as it would with any youngster.
But that question, what do you miss most? Why do I always, all that's in my head are bars. I miss Daisy Buchanan's. I miss,
Daisy's.
What was it? You know, like I miss bars. Like, that's just so wrong. The Elliott Lounge. I miss, like, what? How come that's all I miss?
This was fun, Fat Face Felger back
I can't
in the
think
day, huh?
Fat Face drinking Felger, right?
I mean, that end of Boylston Street there with Dad's Diner and Daisy's around
Dad's.
The corner.
Sure. Poorhouse, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, all of that. Those places.
Okay, here comes Murray's update.
Polluted in there.
Back with more of your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
go back to your phones. Our buddy Tom is in Quincy. Tommy, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, I got a couple. Good. I got a couple comments on this MLB situation. But real quick, Mike, that shot they take from a little while ago with Murray's questions, it's really similar to your Colby Calais one you had years ago, which came out of nowhere, I remember. So that was a total aside. But the question you asked earlier is, you know, do you miss it more, less, whatever? I miss it about as much as I thought I would. But I will say the one thing that I found over the past couple of years is I've veered away from watching the majority of other teams, you know, like you said, like out-of-market teams, stuff like that. I used to watch it on TV if it was like a division rival game in the NL or whatever. I've gone away from that a little bit. I'm more focused on what the Sox are doing. And as far as how to fix it, I have no clue. That's above my pay grade altogether. But I would think it maybe some sort of radical realignment might work at some point. But I will say overall, true baseball fans, a few and far between these days, but I've been watching it for roughly 40 years. It's very hard to just go, hey, you know what? I'm done with this sport. Even though the majority of the athletes that most people consider no star power, which is another argument that drives me effing bananas. But I will, I'm always going to watch the Sox regardless of how bad they suck, and hoping that they can eventually turn a corner with this whole thing. But all of the things that are wrong with this game are all the topics we've all discussed for the past couple of years. It's not an easy fix, but they got to do something different.
So my worry, Maz, is that because it's still a good business, the gate's still good, the regional sports networks are, you know, great business for most of these teams. They just got a new national TV contract, banked on that. And the ratings aren't even down that much. Like, the ratings are actually even up a couple percentage points this year.
Well, the ratings are down. The viewership is up.
Okay, so you can grade out, but you can parse it out in different ways. Baseball was down less than these other sports, put it to you like that. So, like, they're still there. It's just the passion.
Yeah.
The passion and the interest. That's different than saying, well, you go to the game, is the game on? You know, you're keeping track, but are you passionate about it like you used to be? Like, that's the thing that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I think that is going in the other direction.
I mean, let me just give you an example. Like, I don't think, you know, hockey and basketball are not necessarily as quote-unquote popular as baseball in some respects, but I think there's passion there. Like, the Bruins fan has great passion, win or lose. The Celtics fan only has passion when they win, but at least the passion's there. Like, it's a different kind of passion, softer, happier, but the Celtics fan definitely has it. And the Bruins fan, we know, has it through thick and thin, almost more through thin than thick, right? The Red Sox, you know, like, that's what I worry about. That's what I need.
You should be worried about that. You should be worried about it because it's fading. Yeah, it is. It's fading. I don't think there are any two ways about that. I mean, to me, it's a really disturbing trend. And I know where you were going when you say the thing you're worried about is that with all these, you know, all the business aspects of it generally being good,
there's no real incentive for them to change.
Exactly. And that's what the issue is. And so I just think that eventually what's going to happen, I just think they're waiting too long. And all of a sudden, what's going to happen is they're going to start to see their revenues go down, and then they're going to act, and it's going to be too late. That's what I think.
So the email of the day on this topic, Jimmy, if we could, please.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boob.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's M-I-M-E. Want your thoughts on this idea. John and Winthrop writes in, Mike, the pace of play and the game feeling like stickball because 40% of all plate appearances ending in one of three true outcomes are major problems. It's a great way to put it. It's strikeout.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I called it. You go tape up a strike zone on the schoolyard brick wall. The fence is the home run. You go back there with a bag of tennis balls, and it's either a strikeout or a home run.
Yep.
That's what the game's become.
Pretty much.
Watching two guys play catch, and every once in a while, the guy hits it out of the park. That's the game. So true. He also says, It's the only sport where the stars don't always determine the outcome. You watch other sports, LeBron, Brady, Rodgers, they decide outcomes. One solution would be that from the eighth inning on, a team can redo their batting order and put the top of their order or whatever order they want to start each inning starting in the eighth. Mike Trout, for example, would be guaranteed an at-bat in the eighth and ninth and beyond. How do you feel about that idea?
So that's been floated in the past, I think, and I read it the first time I read it, I think Verducci wrote it. I don't know if he came up with it or not. But honestly, at this stage, I'm up for anything. I'm not joking.
Yeah. And they should be, too.
I'm up for just about anything. Tell me what you want. You want to go to three balls and two strikes? Like I told you in this idea that I've had with kids, three pitches. Two strikes, you're out. Two balls, you're on. Next batter, let's go. Let's move. Because I think the game moves too slow for kids. So tell me what you want. I'm in.
So it's so true. It's not, you know, the seven-inning doubleheader. Did you ever watch a seven-inning game?
No.
So I did. I watched a few. And it's kind of interesting, you know, the way the bull, it's not, you don't need the bullpen, and it's like, but it didn't change the major problem, which was
pace.
It was still slow as crap, pitch to pitch and batter to batter. So it's like, yeah, it ended sooner, and you got to the, you know, the crucial innings quicker, which helped, and I felt it, but it's still like throw the ball. So it didn't address the fundamental issue of the game.
No, again, it just doesn't move fast enough. And, you know, we talked earlier about the games in the 70s and 80s. Murray, you said, someone said 78. Murray said, what about 88? Like, just watch what they did on the mound. They threw, they got the ball back, they threw again. There was no walking around. There was no shaking your arm out. There was no, you know, taking the glove off, wiping your ass.
The batter stayed in the batter's box.
Yes, yeah. And the batter was ready to hit. There was a pitch every 15 seconds, basically. I mean, there was nothing gimmicky, nothing, no one's screwing around. Let's play.
Pick at the uniform. Deep breath, deep. And it's not just David Price. It's so many of these a-holes. Just get it and throw it. Let's go.
And now that speaks to the frequency of pitches. Okay, but beyond that, now, even if a guy does work fast, the guy doesn't put the ball in play.
Or he steps out.
Right, but let's say he stays in the box.
Yeah.
Still takes six pitches. Right? Still takes six pitches, and then he strikes out or walks.
Or hits a home run.
Right, and goes back to the dugout. I mean, there's no athleticism or creativity in the game whatsoever. None.
John in Mattapan wants to weigh in on that Prescott versus Dalton thing. Go ahead, John.
This guy that called up talking about, like, Dak Prescott, Cowboys are going to let Dak Prescott leave. I'm a huge Cowboy fan, and Stephen Jones has already come out and said Dak is the franchise quarterback.
Well,
and
that's easy to say. What if Prescott wants to be paid more than Russell Wilson, which is what he wanted the last time?
They were a year off. Like, Dak wanted a five-year deal, and Jerry Jones wanted a four-year deal. They'll get it done. And they'll make the playoffs because the NFC East is really bad. But this team is going to go around Ezekiel Elliott, not Andy Dalton.
Okay, well, then you're poor.
Yeah, then they're screwed.
I hate Cowboys fans.
Yeah, they're truly the worst.
Seriously. You know, yeah. Well, Stephen Jones. Listen, what do you think he's going to say? No, we're going to cut his ass. He snapped his leg in half. Too bad. See you later. We're moving on. You think that's coming out? And the other thing is, how could he possibly promise him anything? What if the guy doesn't come back the same? What if Dalton plays great and they win the Super Bowl? Like, you can't promise him anything. Let's not be delusional about it. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you.
Yeah, those people haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years, and they still, like, talk like they're always contenders.
Like Celtics fans.
I was going to say Dodgers fans.
Pat in Franklin on the Patriots. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. Hey, so on Saturdays, my wife and I, wait till the end of the segment with Gasper and Murray to do the five questions. We love it. So that's number one. Number two, Le'Veon Bell is going to make the Chiefs or the Bills better. That's why Belichick's looking into it, because he knows he's going to make those two teams better. And hey, I mean,
okay. Well, Pat, let me stop you. Thank you for the call.
It's the Belichick C block, if you will.
So, do you think he's C blocking him?
No way. No way.
Or making him pay more because they're rivals?
Okay, fine. Make him pay more. But ultimately, Bill gets to say, what, you paid more per win than I did? And they win.
No. You lost a third-round pick, and if I wasn't involved, you only would have given up a fourth. You'll be weaker in the long run.
I don't get the third round, fourth round pick thing.
So again, if Bill gets involved and drives the price up, he makes the Bills and or Chiefs pay more than they would have.
Right, in cash.
No.
But the guy's going to be a free agent.
Okay, now he's a free agent, but he was involved before they traded him.
Oh,
he was one of the teams that contacted the Jets for a trade.
Yeah, okay, right. So early on,
being involved across the board, okay, make someone, but you're right. If it's just a money thing, who cares?
Yeah, like at the end of the day, to spend a few extra bucks, big deal. Like, and honestly, I think
he gets off on having the Jets pay for his players. Like, I think that would be something he would love to do.
Yeah, I think the only time Bill gets involved in a player is when he really wants him. And then it's a matter of price. But, you know, now, because at the end of the day, can you prevent him from going to another team? No, you can increase the price a little bit, but you can't prevent him from going. Unless you trade his ass to Tampa Bay like you did to Logan Mankin.
On that note, final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. Villiers Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. Mike is running back in from the trough urinal, apparently, that we have installed here Beasley Media. Yes. Michael Hurley of CBS Sports Boston made an appearance earlier today. Hurley, of course, covers the Patriots, and, he got to have his little say, which really was more of a roasting of the three of us before the whole interview began.
If you don't mind, Michael, I'd like just to start with a couple things, seeing as, two segments bashing me. I should at least get maybe 40 seconds here to say my piece. So I'll go one by one. First of all, with Felger, I don't get mad when you do this because you're basically a caricature of a human being, a clown, a pro wrestler, the Hulk Hogan of sports talk radio. You spend 4 hours every day whining and bitching about other people whining and bitching. The irony would be suffocating if you had even a shred of self-awareness. But, of course, we know the situation there. Moving over to Mr. Maserati, he called me a twerp multiple times yesterday, which is outstanding language for someone such as yourself who grew up in the 1940s. That is some excellent verbiage there. You also said you wanted to slap me and rip my hair out. We understand the hair. We know why that wants to be ripped out. As for the slap, I'd love to see you catch me first without tearing an ACL or something. And lastly, to Mr. Murray, whenever I'm brought up in these conversations, it's the saddest of all when you sit there and say I'm the insufferable crybaby whiny, when you are the man in your 40s who drapes yourself in Patriots clothes and gets sad when the Patriots don't win the game. And if you've lived through the most successful time than anyone before you, yet you hate every single athlete that's played for your favorite team except for Tom Brady. So it's a projection of your own hatred toward things. I don't take it personally, but I do want to give you a hug. That is all. I wish nothing but sadness for the three of you, and I'm willing to talk about the subject at hand now.
That was a good roast.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
He was ready.
I like that line. I wish nothing but sadness for the three of you. That's good. I get to steal that.
Also at 4:50, did the five questions for both Mike and Tony, that nothing to do with sports. Here's the recap courtesy of one James Stewart.
Nice.
With the passing of Eddie Van Halen last week, which Van Halen lead singer do you prefer and why? David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar? Gary Cherone doesn't count because nobody cares about Gary Cherone.
Can I just say that I hate them both? I hate those people on music who say, he sucks. Bob Dylan sucks. This guy sucks. No, they don't suck. Don't be an a-hole.
If you could snap your fingers and get rid of one of the big three social media apps, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, which one would you eradicate and why?
TikTok's out.
Question number three, seeing as concerts are never going to come back because we're never going to get out of this hell, which band or artist are you sad you never got to see?
Ooh. Oh, that's such a great question.
Question number four, you're dead. How would you want people to describe you in one sentence?
He never got in my way or wasted my time. Don't bother me or waste my time. So I want someone to say that about me. You don't like my takes, you can turn the channel. But otherwise, I'm not going to get in your way.
Finally, what Boston thing from the past do you miss the most?
Oh, so such a great question.
The left field screen at Fenway.
Oh wow, yeah, that's been forever.
The screen. All these kids running around now who have no idea what you're talking about when you say hit one into the screen. There was a big screen up there that caught all the balls. And if you hit one over the screen, it was a big deal. Now you got all the yuppies sitting up there, and it's completely been gentrified. It's awful.
All right, good round, fellas.
That's a good question,
so
Murray.
So concludes five questions. It's got nothing to do with sports. We find out a little bit about these guys, and, you know, see, we can have a little fun.
Enough of that.
Worth it, wasn't it, Felger?
Enough of the mediocre.
Not really.
Yeah, I feel like I just wasted someone's time.
He wasn't a bother. That's a good one.
I didn't waste your time, and I think I just did.
I'm with Murray on that. Murray's line is the greatest gift you can give someone is to not bother them.
Well, I mean, isn't it?
It is so true. It is so true. I'm going to make that a t-shirt.
That band that I've never seen. I got to come up with a better answer than Sade. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised you didn't have something else there.
Because I've seen every other band. And I'd say go back in time.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
See the Beatles at Fenway Park. I'm not talking about that. It's got to be in my time. Like, before I get off the air, I got to think a lot.
Yeah, but you've seen everybody.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, but there has to be someone. Murray? Come on.
I don't know. Do you like Queens of the Stone Age? No. You don't really like rock?
Like, is it, how lame am I to say?
You've seen My Morning Jacket, right?
Yes. Okay. Balls. Loved them. Oh, so good. Coldplay? Am I allowed to say that?
Sure. Yeah. They put on a good show.
I think they put on a good show from what I understand. From what I see, I watch concert videos like you read about. Yeah. So, I've seen them like that. Feels like that's a good show.
Yeah, you can use them. I think that's acceptable.
God, that's annoying. I can't come up with someone better than freaking Sade.
Think about it. Call me later.
Okay, go ahead. We're done. Jones is standing by. 90 seconds. No commercials. Then you get him. We have an agenda-free Friday tomorrow. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.